And let us continue to worship our gracious God through giving attention to his word as it comes to us in St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. This morning we pick back up in our series in Galatians. When we were last together, we considered the preceding passage where Paul told the Galatians how he had confronted Peter at Antioch. Before the Judaizers arrived in Antioch, Peter had been eating and fellowshipping with his Gentile brothers and sisters in Christ, but the Judaizers taught that the Gentiles were ceremonially unclean and that they needed to perform works of the law like circumcision and keeping a kosher diet and observing the Jewish Sabbath days and so forth in order to be accepted by God. So when the Judaizers arrived, Peter, who knew better, stopped socializing with the Gentile believers there. So Paul had to say, look, Peter, your behavior is out of step. It's out of line with the gospel that Jesus entrusted to you, the gospel through which you were saved, the gospel that you love, the gospel that you proclaim. Your behavior is out of line with the gospel that you and I believe and hold dear. Stop discriminating against our Gentile brothers and sisters and stop fearing the legalists, the Pharisaical Judaizers. This morning, we consider more of what Paul said to Peter. Remember that Paul included it in his letter to the Galatian Christians, the Gentile Christians in Galatia, because they were being influenced by the Judaizers. They were beginning to doubt that salvation was through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. They were beginning to doubt their salvation. They were beginning to think they needed to do more and add to the finished work of Jesus in order to be accepted by God. And that can be our tendency too. Josh used a word in the prayer this morning that I thought that's a perfect word for what we're doing this morning. He used the word reorient, asking God to reorient our thinking, reorient our lives to Jesus and his grace. This is a reorientation passage. And as I've meditated on it this past week, I've found it helpful to just keep thinking about it over and over because I need reorienting too. What is exactly the means by which I am saved? What is the basis for my right standing before God? Because my mind can go in all sorts of directions. My heart can go in all sorts of directions. This is one of those reorienting passages that brings us back to the bedrock truth that we are justified not by our works, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So let us read Galatians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. Paul said to Peter, "We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Jesus Christ in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Let's look to him once again in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this amazing news of your grace, and we pray that you would, by the same Spirit who inspired these words, breathe life into our hearts and grant us to rest in the grace of your dear Son, through whom we ask this prayer. Amen. Well, if St. Paul had been a high school student in an English class, his teacher might have taken off points for the passage before us this morning. She might have said something like this: "Paul, this is redundant. You don't need to say the same thing three different ways in the same sentence. We've talked about this before, Paul. Moreover, this is a run-on sentence. And, you know, Paul, I've had to get on to you about that before as well. Paul, you're capable of so much more. But thankfully, Paul was in no such class. So he felt the freedom, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to write the sentence that is before us and leave it as it is. Verbose and repetitive, yes, but verbose and repetitive for a purpose. Paul was compelled to emphasize for Peter and the Galatians and for you and me the wonderfully good news that we are not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. And those are the two life-changing and liberating truths I want us to consider this morning. First, how Paul says we are not justified. And then how Paul says that we are justified. In the first place, how Paul says that we are not justified. Three times in verse 16, Paul said that we are not justified by works of the law. He told Peter, we know that a person is not justified by works of the law. Then he said, Peter, you and I, we were justified not by works of the law. And then, just to drive home the point, he said, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. And what Paul was seeking to press home here was the universality of that truth. No human being, Jew or Gentile, rich or poor, doesn't matter. No one is justified by works of the law. He was saying to Peter, if you and I who are Jews and thus had the privilege of knowing the law of the Old Testament and to a certain degree following the law through circumcision and diet and ceremonial washings and keeping of special days and other traditions, if we as Jews have come to see that we are not justified through observing these things, why would you give an inch to the Judaizers who are saying that Gentile sinners who didn't know a thing about all these laws need to start doing these things in order to be justified? Now, what did Paul mean by the term justified? He uses the term three times in this sentence. What did he mean by the term justified? Well, in this context, the term justified means counted righteous, or deemed righteous, or declared righteous. It's very important for our understanding of the gospel that we understand how Paul is using the term justified here. Again, it means counted righteous, deemed righteous, declared righteous. It is, in fact, a legal term used in a court of law to indicate full acquittal and, more than that, a perfect record of law-keeping. It's the declaration that this person is not only not guilty, but that this person is declared by the judge to have a perfect record of law-keeping. No transgression, no trespass, no infraction relative to the law whatsoever. And that is what God requires of his image bearers. God is holy. Again, Josh used that phrase from Isaiah and is repeated in Revelation. God is holy, holy, holy. Holy to the superlative degree. There is no sin whatsoever in God. No immorality. And he is a just and holy judge whose character requires that he judge sin. And our sin is against an infinitely holy God, an eternal God. And so the wages of sin is death, meaning eternal death, eternal condemnation. That's what all of us deserve because of our sins, because of our trespasses against God's holy law, which reveals his holy character. His standard, the standard of this judge and lawgiver, is perfect. And the person who wants to have fellowship and eternal life with God must have a perfect record. He or she must be justified, that is, declared righteous by this just and holy judge of all the earth and of for now and for eternity. Paul said emphatically and repeatedly in this one verse, no one will be justified, that is, declared righteous by God, by their own works. Getting circumcised won't do it. Keeping a kosher kitchen won't do it. Observing the Sabbath won't do it. Attending church won't do it. Attending more Bible studies won't do it. Praying more won't do it. Being a better husband or a better wife or a better son or daughter or mother or father or neighbor or employee or employer won't do it. Making more money won't do it. Making straight A's won't do it. There is nothing that you can do to get yourself right before a holy and just God. Nothing can clean us up. Nothing can clean us up and commend us to God. And that's what Paul was having to remind Peter of. Don't fall to the pressure of the Judaizers, but boldly declare by the way you love your Gentile brothers and sisters that getting circumcised and keeping a kosher diet and following the religious festivals of Israel and so forth, that will not clean you up. There's only one thing that will clean you up. By works of the law or any human effort, no one can commend themselves to God. No one can be justified. No one can be declared righteous. So that's our first takeaway. How Paul said emphatically and repeatedly, we are not justified. Our second takeaway is how Paul said that we are justified. How we are justified. Just as Paul told us three times how we are not justified, he told us three times how we are justified. Or declared righteous in God's sight, or accepted as righteous in God's sight. First, he said that a person is justified through faith in Jesus Christ. Then, speaking of himself and Peter as Jews, he said, we also have believed or placed our faith in or trusted in Christ Jesus. And then just to be clear, he said that he and Peter did so, why? In order to be justified by faith in Christ. So having made it abundantly clear that he nor Peter nor the Judaizers nor the Gentiles in Antioch or Galatia nor anyone of any race at any time can be justified through their own human efforts, Paul made it abundantly clear how a person can be justified, namely through faith in Jesus Christ. Through looking away from oneself and that spiritual competitiveness, that self-righteousness that is innate in our fallen nature. Looking away from oneself and comparing oneself to others and that game that we can so easily play day in and day out, looking away from ourselves and looking to God's Son, who made atonement for our sins and whose shed blood washes away all our transgressions. Faith in Christ, life for a look, Through his prophet Isaiah, Jesus says, "Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and ye shall be saved." I learned it in the King James. "Look unto me," Jesus says, "and you shall be saved." Life for a look. Justification for a look. The look of faith. The look of childlike faith. It's the most beautiful kind. Childlike faith. "Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling." That's faith. The reason why justification is by faith in Jesus Christ is because Jesus is unique. Jesus is uniquely the God-man who came to save sinners. God in the flesh. It is God who justifies. We can't justify ourselves. So it is God who justifies. How does he justify? He justifies in the person and work of his Son, who is uniquely the God-man, and who uniquely lived a human life void of all sin, a life we have not lived. He died then the death that we deserve, a uniquely atoning death for us. So that when we believe in him, we are trusting that all our sins were laid on him on the cross, where he paid the penalty of our sins in full. He drank that cup of God's wrath in full. There's not one drop of wrath left for the Christian. Christ drank it all on the cross of Calvary. And in addition to that, he gives us his perfect righteousness that we wear like a robe to cover us, and by which we are accepted by God in his Son. Jesus' perfect record is given to us. His perfect love for God and neighbor, it's freely given to us. So when God the judge looks at you as a believer in Jesus Christ, he does not see your sin. He sees the perfect righteousness of Jesus, his beloved Son, with whom he's always well pleased, and thus declares you righteous because of him. You can think of that term justified in that way. For the believer, it's just as if I'd never sinned. From God's perspective, it's just as if I'd never sinned. And more than that, it's just as if I'd lived the perfect, holy life of Jesus. Judicially, that is how God the judge looks at you as a believer in Jesus Christ. So the righteousness that saves us and gives us a right standing before God is not our own righteousness. It is what Martin Luther called an alien righteousness. A righteousness from outside ousselves. A righteousness given to us and received by faith alone. And that is how we can live lives of joy and confidence and refreshment and freedom. A life of legalism is a life of drudgery. It is a very poor advertisement for the Christian faith. It is a life of constantly seeking to find your identity in everything but Christ. It is a life of dreariness and emptiness, because nothing that you do, nothing that you can do in comparison to anyone else or in comparison to God's law will ever satisfy your soul. But the one who reorients his thinking and his feeling and his living day by day to the fact that he is counted righteous in Christ, well, that cultivates joy and love and graciousness toward others. gospel does not say to us, let's wait and see how you do between now and your death. Maybe if your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, God will let you slip into heaven. That's not the gospel. The gospel does not say, we'll take up this matter of justification on judgment day. Best of luck between now and then. That's not good news. The gospel says, the moment you believe in Jesus, you are justified forever. You are irrevocably justified. And as Paul is going to talk about later in Galatians, the gospel says that when you believe in Jesus, you are adopted forever. You see, the gospel is both forensic and familial. It involves both God's courtroom and God's eternal family home. It involves God both as holy judge and heavenly Father. The gospel says that when you believe in Jesus, God will never, ever, ever declare you unrighteous, and he will never, ever, ever declare you an orphan. He will always accept you as righteous, and he will always love you as his child. Thus, you have no reason to fear judgment or abandonment from God. You are no longer under the condemnation of God's law. You are under the irrevocable favor and love of Jesus Christ. You know, when a Jewish boy becomes 13, the milestone is celebrated with his bar mitzvah. For a Jewish girl at 12 or 13, depending on which branch of Judaism you're in, it's the bat mitzvah. And I remember some of our dearest friends in Elkin were a Jewish family, and I remember attending. Sam was 13 and Lauren was 12, and attending their bar and bat mitzvahs, and it was just a wonderful party, wonderful celebration. They had learned to read the Torah in Hebrew, and it was a wonderful accomplishment for them. It was a great celebration. You know, bar mitzvah means son of the law. Bat mitzvah means daughter of the law. And the significance is that when a boy turns 13 and a girl turns 12 or 13 in the Jewish faith, they are considered under the law. Under the law, meaning they are now accountable to the law. They are now accountable to observe all those laws that they've been learning to prepare for their bar mitzvah. They are accountable to keep the law of God. The good news is that as Christians, we are bar Messiah. We are bat Messiah, a son or daughter of the Messiah. We are no longer under law. We are under the Messiah and his grace. We are under his shed blood. We are under his righteousness. We are covered in his righteousness. All that needs to be done for our salvation has been completed in him. And thus, we're gloriously counted as righteous in God's sight, not by works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Paul might not have gotten an A for this passage in English class. But boy, is it an A+ when it comes to what we need for our eternal souls. As John Stott put it, and when I read this quote from John Stott, I promise you, I thought, great Stott. Rather than great Scott. Oh, great Scott. What a quote. It would be hard to find a more forceful statement of the doctrine of justification than this, Galatians 2:16. You know, I'm thinking John 3:16, Galatians 2:16 is right up there as a summary of the Christian faith. But this is what Stott said. We should accept this biblical doctrine of justification and not let our natural self-righteousness keep us from faith in Christ. You say, what would ever keep me from basking in this free grace of Christ? It's our natural self-righteousness. What would keep anyone from free, unmerited favor, the eternal love of God in Christ? It's our natural self-righteousness. And so as I meditated on this glorious truth this week, and I found it helpful to meditate on it, try to do it each morning. Pretty much each morning this past week, I just meditated on Galatians 2:16. And I found it helpful for me to write it out. Write out the first part, especially. And in place of the word a person, to write my name. To write my own name. And say, Mantle Aaron Nance is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. I found that helpful. I found it so helpful to do that. And reorient my thinking and reorient how I treat other people. And reorient the joy that I can experience in Christ as I bring myself back to that wonderful truth that I am not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe that would be helpful for you as you meditate on God's grace, rest in that grace, worship the God who justifies you freely by His grace, and seek to show that grace to those whom God has placed in your life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.